Tarlehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End Bank Holiday Weekend Preview. Reading are a point closer to safety following a 1-1 draw at Bristol City, and that is a chance we could officially secure survival on Monday when West Brom visit the Medeski Stadium. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined on this beautifully sunny afternoon by the editor of the Tarlehurst End, Simeon Pickup. How's it going, Sim?
Well, it's a particularly beautiful afternoon when you just picked up an unlikely point at Ashton Gate, so I'm absolutely wonderful. How about you?
I'm completely the same. A fantastic point. I think we both agree. Yaku Mate opening the scoring for Reading in the southwest before Josh Brownhill's equaliser, getting a point apiece for both teams. I'd say a very, very respectable point. As you say, I mean, another good result against a team towards the top of the table. Of course, having beaten Preston a few weeks ago, and obviously getting that point at Norwich a week and a half ago as well. So, I mean, how much confidence does that give you? Obviously, not only going into another tough game against West Brom on Monday, but also for the rest of the season and in the relegation battle.
I think just the last couple of results we've had shows that we can pick up points in pretty much any match at the moment. Going to Norwich looked on paper like the toughest game we could have this season, with them right at the very top of the table, and obviously it being an away game as well. But picking up a point there, picking up a point against Bristol City, it shows that we can dig in and get a point when we're not necessarily going to get three, but we can still keep ticking over with those kind of results, and particularly with some really good home form. I know Sky's pundits don't agree with that, but some really good home form at the moment. We're just picking up points a lot easier than we were under Paul Clement a while ago. Even if we're not winning, we're picking up draws here and there, and considering we can get it done with a draw on Monday pretty much, depending on what Rotherham do. Yeah. Well, we're in a very good position, and I'm just delighted to be looking at the rest of the season thinking we might have nothing to play for in the last two matches, when a little while ago we were thinking we got to dig our way out of the bottom three rather than just staying out of it.
Yeah, I think obviously we were thinking for a while that it might be all the way down sort of final game with against Birmingham. Of course, it might still go down to the final game, but Reading in a much, much better position than they were sort of a couple of months ago. As you say, Scott Minto and co being proven quite wrong from their Sky Predictions article from a couple of weeks ago. Joshua Gomez went into this Bristol City game with the same lineup as he did against Norwich, choosing to go five across the back, Yeardom and Gunter as the wing backs, and then Miasca, Moore and Blackett as a central three. And I think that does show he's sort of prepared to change his team around for, you know, sort of for these more difficult games. Obviously, as I mentioned, he went with that as well against Norwich, and it shows versatility, really. Obviously, we got sort of overpowered by the likes of Sheffield United and Leeds in the last couple of months when we've gone with four at the back. So Gomez has clearly sort of identified that and gone with a plan B and gone with that back five. And we'll talk about our preferred lineups a bit more in part three of the show, Sim. But do you think he might well go with that again against West Brom Monday? Obviously, a team that beat us 4-1 early in the season. I think they're also the second top scorers in the Championship. So could we see that back five again? Or because this game's at home, do you think we might see him go for it a bit more?
I think he might very well go for that same formation. I think it was Yeardom as a centre-half, actually, in the last two games when he's gone with a back five. Wasn't there today, annoyingly, but I believe it was the same back five as Norwich, with Blackett as a wing back and Yeardom as a centre half, and I believe Yeardom went into the midfield in the second half as well. Yep. So it does show that Gomez is willing to change things up, to just tweak things tactically here and there. And I think when you compare him to Yapstam, which is probably the most kind of obvious comparison, Yapstam did make the odd tactical change here and there, but generally speaking, he was too rigid tactically. He was too much about trying to keep the ball and influence games with possession. But you look back at the last couple of weeks, and Reading haven't had that much of the ball. Generally speaking, we've had less possession than the opposition, but we've still been dangerous without the ball. We're good on the counter, and we're able to soak up a lot of pressure at the moment, which is a really big testament to not just Gomez, but the defenders themselves, who are putting in some some really good performances. And I guess on Monday, it makes sense to do the same thing. West Brom score a lot of goals, as you say. So there's not really too much need to risk it. I think if Reading are too open and try and play too expansive football, then there is every opportunity, every possibility that we just get picked off at the back by a really strong West Brom side. And it's not about really good attacking performances at the moment. It's about just grinding out points. And if we can get a big point, then that's one step closer to safety.
Absolutely. Well, let's hear from Jose Gomez then. He's been looking ahead to Monday's game with West Brom.
Very good players. Very, very, very good players. Very good team. They are fighting for the positions that can give them the chance to play the playoffs. So it will be a tough game again. But like all the games in the Championship, all the games are tough. And we must prepare well during these 2 days, recover well, sleep well, to be ready on Monday to get the points that we want. We must win.
Looking at West Brom in a bit more detail then, they are currently fourth in the Championship and have been, I think, for what seems like forever, really. The 21st of January was the last time that they didn't occupy that fourth spot. They did, of course, quite surprisingly, sack Darren Moore a month or so ago. I think it was sort of mainly their home form that was a key reason for that. Since then, though, they've won 5 out of 7 games under caretaker manager James Sharn, and that included a 3-2 win over Hull on Good Friday, which they came from behind in that game. They were 2-1 down in the second half and came back to score all to get all 3 points. Sorry, I mentioned their excellent goal scoring record earlier. They scored 84 goals in the Championship so far this season, which is only bettered by Norwich's 85, I think, at the time of recording. And they play Sheffield Wednesday later tonight, so that could extend. But 23 of those goals have come from Dwight Gale, who scored twice on Friday. 21 have come from Jay Rodriguez, who actually missed his first league game of the season against Hull on Friday, but I believe he should be back for Monday's game. So there's plenty of attacking quality in that team, Sim, and of course, Hal Robson-Carney as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Some really good attacking players at the moment. What I think gives me confidence is that individually, Reading players are doing well at the back. We've got quality players like particularly Liam Moore and Matt Miazga, who have been in really good form in the last couple of weeks, and they have had to go up against some really good attackers, particularly against, say, Teemu Pukki in the Norwich game a couple of weeks ago. They are used to going up against really good forwards, so it's nothing new going up against Dwight Gale and Jay Rodriguez. And if there's ever been a time in the last couple of years that Reading have had some really good defenders that I'd back against someone like Gale or Rodriguez, when you got people like Miazga and Moore in the form that they're in, it gives you that bit more confidence. And obviously with a really good shot stopper behind them as well in Emi Martinez, it's reasons to be optimistic, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds quite strange to say that considering the position that we're in the table, but there's probably quite a good argument to say that Moore and Miazga is probably our best sort of centre-back pairing, you know, for a good 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've got a really good understanding at the moment. I think it's the kind of thing you pick up by body language as much as anything else. I think you go back to when Thiago Alori was here and other defenders playing as well. There seemed to be just that little bit of uncertainty at the back. And obviously defending is very much about relationships. It's about defenders knowing what's going to happen around them before it happens, essentially. Do they need to cover for someone else? Do they need to step out? If they do step out, is someone going to cover behind them? And there does seem to be a good relationship there between Moore and Miazga, which is really encouraging. And I'd be delighted if Miazga can stay beyond the summer and we can really continue that and let that partnership grow and grow. Because when Reading have had solid, reliable defensive partnerships at the back, we've tended to do well. You think of Pearson Gorks, Inge Marston and Sonko, just as a couple of examples. I guess even Hector and Pearce that season when we got to the FA Cup semi-final. When you do get those relationships sorted and really nailed down and consistent, then you can go places.
To give a shout out to a fellow Reading podcast, Alan Park Rowell, a fantastic interview with Liam Moore early in the week, and he spoke very highly of Matt Miazga and all of the loanees, to be honest with you. But I think he was very clear that the relationship with Miasca was a big reason as to why Reading sort of improved defensively in recent weeks. Looking at West Brom's defence very briefly then, they actually conceded quite a few goals as well as scoring them. They conceded 58 so far this season, which is the joint third worst record in the top half. They haven't kept a clean sheet in any of their last five games. Potential for someone like Jackie Mate. Their away record isn't the greatest either. Just one win in the last four on the road for them, including losing their last two. And you know, you mentioned earlier, Sim, with Reading's fairly decent home record of late. I mean, how nice is it, you know, as I was saying earlier, you know, to have some hope going into these games and not really be fearful of getting thrashed or mauled?
Yeah, psychology is vital at the moment, to be honest. You really just got to believe that you can get the win. But I guess it's not just about the influence of the manager and the form of the team as well, but the atmosphere at the Malaysia Stadium seems a lot better now than it has done in the past. The not just atmosphere in terms of how loud the chanting is, which obviously Club 1871 have done really well with, but
yeah,
just generally all around the stadium, it's a lot more positive, it's a lot more supportive. If a Reading player wins the ball back or as a go from far out, there's really a kind of that little bit of spark that gets into the home crowd and they really roar the team on. And it's a little thing, but you really do miss it when it's not there. And I think one of the things that Liam Moore has been saying, particularly on that Elm Park Royals podcast, which is very good, of course, is that the support is really important. It really does pay off for the team. And when we can really get up a good atmosphere and make it more intimidating, essentially, for the opposition, then we stand a much better chance of pulling off results like a draw or a win against a very good West Brom side.
Yeah, there was an in-depth discussion on Club 1871 in the South Stand on the main show with Mark Mayer and Dave Handbags Harris earlier this week. So do go back and listen to that if you haven't already. But it is time then for the view from the town end where we get the thoughts of a West Brom fan ahead of Monday's game.
The view from the town end. What the opposition think?
View from the town end time now, and with Reading hosting West Brom on Monday, I'm joined by Baggies fan Josh Bland from the Boyne Cast. How's it going, Josh?
Yeah, I'm really good. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thanks. I'm slightly less nervous as this game doesn't look as though it's going to mean quite as much to us as it did a month or so ago.
Yeah, indeed. Well, obviously you got a great result yesterday, and I think yeah, this is similar for us as well. You know, it's we're basically in the playoffs now, so it's could be a bit bizarre having to get a game like, you know, maybe a couple of weeks ago would have been massive for both clubs, but actually, yeah, I think we should be a fairly relaxed encounter on Monday.
Which is just the way I'd like it to be. But yeah, we were in deep trouble last time. These two sides, I think that 4-1 win for you guys, I think, meant we were only outside the bottom three on goal difference. Yeah. I think it put you second, actually, if I'm right. I think right in the hunt, yeah, sort of automatic promotion. I think obviously you're now in fourth place, mm-hmm, and with the playoffs all but secured, as you mentioned. I mean, talk me through what's been going on the last few months at the club.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a weird one, and I think from the outside looking in, it looks especially sort of strange with the Moore sacking and yeah, sort of the. I think people look at our squad and think, yeah, that's one of the strongest squads in the league, and then maybe feel like we should be pushing the top two. I think, in sort of a nutshell, what's happened is the board have taken decisions that have, I'm not going to say have sort of completely torpedoed our chances of going up in the top two.
Yeah.
Because I think performances towards the end under Darren Moore had started to degenerate a bit. But I don't think the sacking of Moore was a particularly popular decision. And the lack of plan for what happened afterwards, you know, not being able to get in Jukanovic, not being able to get in Alex Neil, kind of very publicly, that has sort of left a lot of fans fairly bemused, and obviously Darren Moore was a popular figure with the supporters and at the club. So I think the story of the season is sort of vaguely enjoyable performances and attacking football on the pitch, and then off the pitch sort of bubbling resentment of the board.
I mean, I was going to ask about your opinion on that Moore sacking. Obviously it was mainly the home form, I think, sort of reading into it that yeah, wasn't the best. I think what was your opinion on the sacking?
I still don't like the decision. I think it's genuinely one of the most upsetting decisions that I've ever sort of been in any sort of proximity to. Just because I think what Darren Moore had built was almost beyond mere results. He'd managed to kind of really unite a fan base that was really divided after Pulis and Pardew's sort of reigns of terror. And it was... He was just such a likeable guy, and what Darren Moore represented, I think, was a chance for us to have a manager who was sort of, who was a supporter, who was sort of one of us, in inverted commas, who could really build something over 3 or 4 years. And his, I mean, in, if you're looking at it really coldly, I sort of understand the decision. If you sort of replace him quickly, which we obviously haven't done, in the sense that the home form was really poor. We hadn't won, I think we didn't win in his last 8 home games, something like that. And the performances were worrying. There were problematic relationships between the board and Darren Moore's assistant, who he was fiercely loyal to, Graham Jones, who I think is now going to go off and be a Luton manager next season. And there's sort of, problems with the assistant also kind of played into the board's decision. But... yeah, it just for me, it's a product of our desperate financial need to get back in the Premier League as quickly as possible. And I don't think even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when there's a bit less of a kind of financial disparity between the top two leagues, I don't think he gets sacked. And I think he's given that chance to, at the very least, see out the season, probably try and build something more long term.
Well, James Shan has come in. The under-23s manager, I think, was caretaker for a bit, and then the club announced he'd be staying in the role until the end of the season. Would you have liked to perhaps seen a bigger name, or have you liked what you've seen so far from Shan?
We needed a manager. Jimmy Shan he's actually made some very promising decisions, and his selections have been very good. And given the fact that he's squarely not a manager, he's managed 6 games in his entire career. He's actually done quite well. But the only way that you can justify the Moore sacking and the phrase that the board used that was sort of picked up on by the press when Moore was sacked was it was done in the interest of giving us the best possible chance of getting promoted this season.
Okay.
Well, when you need someone to come in then who's going to be a genuine improvement on what Moore was. And I Shan is, a very competent coach. He's done very, very good things with our youth setup. But I don't see how he's going to be sort of long, or certainly until the end of the season, any better than Moore, really. And I think, we needed someone like Jukanovic, Neil, Wagner. These are the names that we've been linked with. And the fact that that's not been materialised, I think, is a source of great frustration to a lot of Albion fans, without being sort of a comment on Jimmy Shan himself, who's a genuinely likeable guy.
How do you view your chances of going up? Obviously, I mentioned, the playoffs all but secured earlier. I mean, would this season be considered a failure if you didn't go up, obviously having coming down from the Premier League only last season?
If you'd have said this to me at the start of the season, I'd have said probably not. If we didn't go up, it's probably fair game. As the season's developed and it's become clear how sort of where our squad sits in terms of the championship, or certainly compared to the rest of the field, I think we should be disappointed that we're not in the race for the top two. I think Moore's insistence to keep playing sort of quite high risk football, playing out from the back, has been sort of shown up because Shan has come in and he started playing lower risk football, still kind of attractive and fast paced, but not less passing around the back, less sort of trying to play out. And it's taken the pressure off our back four, and we've stopped conceding goals, and we've really started to beat teams quite convincingly. And there is a sense that if we just stop dicking around with it earlier in the season, stop trying to overcomplicate what we're doing. We've got really good wingers, we've got really good strikers, and we've got decent centre backs. We the spine was there for us to challenge. So I think in that sense it'd be a disappointment. But I don't fancy our chance in the playoffs. We've had fourth pretty much nailed now for about a month. We've got no real momentum. Villa and what looks like it might be Middlesbrough below us, as things stand, and then Sheffield United or Leeds above us. I think we would be the team that other players, other teams want to play.
In terms of your point of view, Josh, which team would you fancy in the playoffs to play?
I mean, the ideal would be Bristol City, I think, if they manage to sneak in. But I think really any of the current top six are an intimidating prospect for us. I think it's going to be Villa, who are just in great form and have a habit of sort of beating us in big games, which is awful. And then obviously Leeds or Sheffield United, whoever it is, going to end up in third, had a great season, fantastic managers. And then Middlesbrough have got the Pulis factor, and he always seems to do one over, you know, do us basically. So it's not, I'm not looking forward to the playoffs at all. Yeah, it's just not fun, is it?
No, well, our record in the playoffs is I think we've got put in the worst one in the whole of the EFL, like three playoff final defeats.
Yeah.
Including the one 2 years ago. But as for yourselves, in terms of the key players for West Brom this weekend, who should Reading fans keep an eye out for?
Well, I mean, Dwight Gale has scored five goals in two games, and he seems to be coming back into form at just a really nice time of the season. But I think the good news for you is that I think he'll probably be rested on Monday. Jimmy Shan has started sort of cyclically resting players ahead of the playoffs. So Rodriguez and Livermore were given a rest yesterday against Hull. So I imagine Gale will probably drop out, as will the likes of Brunt and Higazi. So a lot of our key players will be out. But I would say probably in terms of consistency of performance, Kieran Gibbs has been... You know, I'm surprised stayed with the club, to be honest. He's been brilliant. He's an absolute Rolls Royce of a fullback, and the goal he scored yesterday just, I think, sums up his class. It was sort of like a side-footed cushioned volley across the keeper. It's glorious. So yeah, Kieran Gibbs has probably been consistently the best fullback in the Championship, in my opinion.
As for Reading, Josh, what did you make of us back in that game in October? Have you seen much of us since then as well?
I've watched you a couple of times. Yeah, I mean, the game back in October was a weird one, because I think anyone who was there would attest to the fact that you were much the better side in the first half.
Yeah.
And then I think we scored really early in the second. I think Gale scored and we sort of blitzed you. And we've tended to do that to teams. It's quite weird. I don't know. I've not seen much of you since the change of manager. I don't know to what extent he's improved performances, but the Reading that I saw were a team who looked sort of relatively brittle in terms of confidence, who got a kind of a decent squad, necessarily not that much of a shortage of ability, but once we scored in that game earlier in the season, you did sort of collapse a bit,
yeah.
Which was, I thought at the time, given where you were in the table, relatively alarming. And I'm quite interested to see what, you know, the new guys come in, obviously different cultural background, different sort of experience to someone like Yapstam, and I'm quite interested to see what he's done to you. I mean, has he sort of turned you into do you play in a sort of more free-flowing?
Yeah, I mean, it's back towards the possession style of play that Stammy has presented, but I think Gomez is actually more assertive in that. I think we do try and move the ball forward a lot more under Gomez than we did under Stam. I think a lot of stats, we kept a lot of the ball sort of in our own third under Stam, but I think Gomez is a lot more trying to get the ball forward. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there, really, with the confidence point back in October. I think that's been one of the main issues for the side over the last 2 years, is just confidence. I mean, I think when we go behind in a game, I think there's virtually no hope of us coming back. I think we beat Wigan 3-2 last month, and I think that was the first time we'd come from behind to win a game for about 2 years. So I think, yeah, the confidence points was key, but I think Gomez has instilled a bit of belief in these players, and I think that's been the key thing. I think we get little sound bites from these players saying that he's sort of instilled this positivity. I mean, he speaks very, very well, I think, and the fans have taken to him very, very well indeed, because he speaks so well, you know, in his press conferences. And
he seems very charismatic,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Very, you know, sort of a very, very lazy comparison, but he has that sort of swagger about him that certain other sort of young Portuguese managers who came over to the Premier League, or, you know, maybe 10 or so years ago, had. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm expecting to a much sort of sterner test than the one that we faced at the Hawthorns.
Yeah, I think for sure as well, because it's at the Medeski Stadium. We've only lost once there since New Year's Day,
yeah.
And that was to Leeds. So obviously yourselves are right up there as well. But finally then, Josh, can I get a score prediction for this game?
Yeah, I said on our podcast that I thought we were going to lose this game, and okay. I stand by that. So I think it'll be 2-0 Reading. I just think... I don't know. Well, that was on the basis that I thought maybe you'd still have a bit more, you know, a bit more to play for than we did. And I think that there's been a momentum shift in terms of the kind of the new management's managed to instill. So yeah, I'll make it 2-1. But yeah, I think 2-1 Reading. Yeah,
yeah. I fancy goals in this one. I think. I mean, now you mentioned that Gear might be dropped, we might have more of a chance. But I'm hoping that you might take your foot off the gas a little bit. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. I mean, although you'd have that great comeback, of course, against Hull on Friday.
Yeah. It was. I've never seen a game less deserving of 5 goals. It was awful. But yeah, there we go. It was the only 5 shots of the game, I think, went in pretty much.
My thanks then to you, Josh, for joining me on The View from the Town. All the best on Monday and for the rest of the season in the playoffs as well.
Cheers, and to you, and to you.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Welcome back to The Tarlhurst End weekend preview, looking ahead to Reading versus West Brom on Easter Monday. Looking at the team news then, the team seemed to emerge from the Bristol City game without any issues. Gomez said after the game that Ovi Ejaria played despite being slightly ill. He came off for Tom McIntyre in the second half, while Shaki Mata was also withdrawn after 64 minutes so that he could be ready for Monday. I mean, he wasn't too happy about that sub, Mata. He wasn't too happy about coming off soon. I mean, would you agree with that decision, or would you have liked to have seen him stay on, especially considering I think Reading was still 1-0 up at that point? I think, you know, perhaps could he have stayed on and got that second goal to kill the game off?
There's no need to risk him, to be honest. When you've got a big game coming up on Monday, it's vital that you get the most out of him across both games, really. He could have stayed on for a lot longer. He probably could have got the 90 minutes and then started on Monday, but he's not going to be as fresh. And it is really important that we make a strong start on Monday, that we really show as much energy as possible, particularly up front if we need to, say, press West Brom or really go for a goal. So it is vital that we get as much fitness out of him as possible. I know it's going to annoy him, but hopefully he can channel that properly and turn that annoyance at being taken off as a reason to try extra hard on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather him, you know, be rested for that final half an hour or so than him be huffing and puffing after 20 minutes on Monday. And we'll talk a bit more about Mate in just a minute. But in terms of the players who missed the trip to Bristol, John Delibod-Varson is partially training at the moment. Omar Richards is just finishing his rehab. Paul McShane and John O'Shea, they're both just getting back to fitness. But to be honest, I can't really see either of them getting back in the side. With the form of Moran Miazga. John Swift has had hip surgery and will miss the rest of the season, which we'll talk about in just a minute. Whilst Saeed Eztalahi, Liam Kelly and Josh Barrett are all seemingly fit, but just weren't picked in the 18 by Gomez on Friday. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how sort of Gomez does go with the sign-up on Monday, so mostly with the quick turnaround of games. But how would you like to see the team line up against West Brom?
I'll just try and copy the team that played against Brentford, really. Exactly the same team. What we've, I think what we've got going in the last couple of weeks, even though we've kind of swapped the team around a little bit, obviously going to 5 at the back against Norwich and Bristol City, we've still got some really effective systems. And I really liked the one against Brentford, going to more of a 4-3-3 than a 5-3-2. Or a 4-2-3-1 rather, that we've been doing quite a lot recently.
Yep.
Which is Martinez in goal, back four of Yeardom and Gunter at left back, Miazga and Moore. I thought Gunter did pretty well against Brentford, to be honest, and it'd be nice to see him start again, particularly when he's been out of the side for so long. You want him to really be given a chance to continue his form when he does come back in and play pretty well. Midfield three, Baker just sitting in front of the back four. He's really got an ability to dictate play really nicely from that role. And just ahead of him, Ejaria, if he's available to play again, and Andy Rinnemhote, to give a lot of energy in those kind of box-to-box roles, really helping out both defensively and pushing up. And then making it more of an out-and-out attack three rather than kind of one striker supported by two or three players. I liked the idea of having Oliveira as a centre forward and then supported by Barrow and Mata, who are obviously in very good form. And I think if we do go with that system, it gives us more ability to put West Brom under pressure and really kind of dictate the play, as it were, which obviously came off very well against Brentford in the opening kind of 25-30 minutes. I know we had to absorb a lot of pressure later on, but because we had that team that was set up to play more intense football, to get up the pitch and attack more convincingly, it put us in a position where we could kind of get a lead and then have to defend it rather than the opposite way around.
Yeah, I'd actually stick with the back five, actually, if possible. Difference in opinion there, but yeah, and sort of keep the same lineup as against Bristol City. You know, if all of the players are fit, I mean, I have a feeling Gomez might take Ajaria out if he wasn't 100% today, but potentially, I think if we can keep that same 11, I think especially against a team like West Brom, as we mentioned, a very good attacking side. I think for me is probably just about a safer option. Obviously, you know, with the way the table looks, and at the moment we'll move on to that soon. This fortunately isn't a game that we sort of have to be going out and winning. I mean, obviously it might not provide the most entertaining spectacle on Reading's behalf, but I think, you know, it might just be more beneficial sort of grinding out those results that we've been able to do in recent weeks. But I mean, it does mean obviously if we stuck with the five at the back, there probably would be no Nelson Oliver. Obviously, you have gone with him in your lineups, him to be supported by Mate and Barrow. I mean, he's obviously had a couple of difficult games since returning from injury miraculously early a few weeks ago. I think he missed a fairly big chance to make it 2-1 against Bristol City. But is that not so much an issue? Obviously, we were sort of pinning all our hopes on Oliveira sort of when he first came in, because we were sort of struggling to score quite a few goals. But obviously now with Yaku Mate's form, 5 goals in 5 games for him, is that not so much of an issue?
No, it's not as much of an issue when he's not quite hitting the same form that he had been. But he's still a really dangerous player. I know he's up and down, and he can seem particularly frustrated when things aren't going his way. But I do just feel that you put him in a good opportunity, and he's gonna take him. Really, he's probably our most reliable striker all round. I know Yaku Mate has been in really good form, obviously, but Oliveira is still a really technically gifted player, and he only needs one chance on Monday, and he can turn his form around very nicely. And I'd certainly give him that chance.
Let's mention one player, and we definitely won't be seeing on Monday, or indeed for any of the rest of the season, is John Swift, who underwent hip surgery earlier this week after picking up an injury against Preston last month. Now, there's a slight chance that means we might have seen the last of Swift in a Reading shirt. Obviously, there's been a few rumours about possible departure for him this summer. Leeds United reportedly interested in him at £7 million, the figure being floated around in the media. Two questions for you on that basis, Sim. Would you be happy with £7 million if Swift was to depart? And also, you know, how much would we miss his influence on this team?
Be delighted with £7 million, to be honest. He's a good player, but he's not worth £7 million. So, if we can get that, then it's absolutely something we've got to take. Yeah. I think all round he's. I guess I'm a Swift fan. I like what he can bring with the team. He's certainly our most creative player.
Yeah.
Technically, he's very good. I think a lot of the other players in the squad really talk up his technical ability, but. He's the kind of player that tends to show that in spurts. He'll come up with a magic moment in a game, but then go missing for the rest of it. You think of the Wigan match not that long ago, when, generally speaking, he wasn't particularly influential all round, but still managed to come up with a really good free-kick goal in the first half that proved to be crucial later on. Similarly, against Blackburn, he didn't do too much, apart from a goal and an assist, which you can't really argue with. But it's a tough one. I'd love to keep him in the long term, ideally, but financially speaking, the club is going to need to make the most of all the resources it has. And if it comes down to a choice of keep John Swift or sell him and perhaps bring in a couple of loan players, then I'd certainly go for the loan players, particularly Matt Miazga and Lewis Baker, who have been really impressive for me. I'd love to keep them next season, and I think there's a decent chance of maybe putting in a bid of a few million for each of them and hopefully being able to keep them permanently. But that is only possible if we sell someone like John Swift, bring in a bit of money, and are able to balance the books financially in terms of financial fair play. So it's a tough one, but obviously got to see how it all works out.
I think that's the thing. I think, you know, whether you're a fan of Swift or not, I think he's certainly one of Reading's most valuable assets in terms of his age. He's still only 23. You know, he's got relatively high pedigree, having been at Chelsea. You know, he's played for the England youth teams quite a lot as well, and obviously signed that bumper contract nearly 2 years ago now, which I'd imagine would have some sort of, you know, clause or something that Reading would get a fair amount of money from him if he was to go. And I think, yeah, I'd agree with you in a sense that he is fairly inconsistent. I mean, you mentioned those moments. I mean, that fantastic through ball he gave to Mo Barry to set up Neki Mato's goal against Preston was just another example of that. He's one of those players where not many other players in Reading's team can probably produce moments like that. You know, but at the same time, he's so anonymous for a lot of the game. I think, to be honest with you, I think we could get an upgrade and certainly, you know, perhaps not one who's quite as creative. Obviously, Lewis Baker would be one of those loanees who'd want to bring in next season. Perhaps not quite as creative as John Swift, but I think certainly with the money that we could get from him, I'd certainly agree we could try and get a couple of those loanees in. One of those loanees who we haven't mentioned is Saeed Ezatalahi, of course, on loan from SD Rostov in Russia. Hasn't played since October, but is now finally back to full fitness, we believe. Obviously, the maximum number of loanees you can have in a match day squad is 5. So one would have to drop out if he was to feature for Reading this season. I'd have a guess that might be Ajari, as I mentioned. If he wasn't 100% against Bristol City, he might drop out on Monday for Ezatalahi to potentially feature. I mean, the reason I bring this up is him, obviously, because Ezatalahi played 45 minutes for the under-23s on Friday, last Friday, against Aston Villa. I think you might have brought this up in our Tyler Stent editorial chat. But, you know, is there anything behind that? I mean, as I say, he's only on loan. You know, why would Reading sort of be interested in giving him minutes unless they were sort of either interested in him playing a role either this season or signing him perhaps permanently in the summer?
I think Jose Gomez was asked about it actually and said something like he wanted the option of playing Ezatalahi if he had to at some point this season. But for me, I'm not too sure, to be honest, because he's not going to be completely at full fitness this season. He's obviously missed a lot of the campaign. I think he only got 4 or 5 games actually before being injured all the way back in October. I think Reading would be a bit silly if they didn't sign him in the summer. Rather, if they completely ruled it out. He is a very good player technically. He brings a lot of balance and physical strength in midfield, which I don't really think is anything that we have elsewhere in the squad. Lewis Baker is obviously a good player in front of the back four, but he's more of a kind of a quarterback, kind of dictating play with possession. Andy Rinnemhotra, I think, plays a little bit higher up. Good defensively, but again, he's not that kind of that real anchor man that Ezatalahi is.
We lost that with Bakuna, I suppose, didn't we, when he left in January. I think we lost that when Bakuna left.
Yeah, I guess so. He's kind of, Bakuna was another player who could play that role, giving you some physical presence in front of the back four and really kind of beefing the team up. But I guess even him, he's not the kind of person that you'd really trust to just sit in front of the back four, break up play, and then keep it simple. There's that video that went around Twitter a couple of days ago of Mate and Barrow calling Ezatalahi Sergio Busquets, which is really apt. I think he's that similar kind of physically imposing but technically very assured player that does really well in a possession system, just sitting at the base for three and letting other players dictate the game a little bit more, and that could be a real asset for Reading, particularly if we're having to upgrade our midfield without very much money. Looking at a player who's, I think he's available on a free from Rostov, I think he's out of contract in the summer. If we can pick him up on, I don't know what his wages are like, but probably wouldn't break the bank, whatever way we do it, I think it's a sensible thing to do.
I mean, he's still only 22 as well, Ezatalahi, so he's still quite young to go into that midfield. But prediction time then, Sim. I don't have the prediction league standings in front of me, but I know you did predict the draw against Bristol City. 2-2 you went for. And Dan Wimbush got the 1-1 scoreline spot on, so he might well have leapfrogged me going into this West Brom game. But what are you going to go for on Monday, Sim?
It's a tough one. I think there'll be goals in it, to be honest. West Brom score goals, but...
Yeah.
We do too. it is a tough one. I'm going to go with 2-2 again. I fancy West Brom's attacking quality to show, despite Miazga and Moore being in pretty good form. They've obviously got some really good strikers on their books in Gale and Rodriguez, and I can see them grabbing two goals. But with Mate in form and Oliveira presumably hungry to get his chance and stick it away, I think he could grab one. Reading do have good attacking talent, and we are going to cause them problems. But crucially, we've got the fight at the moment. We've got the spirit to really dig out results, and I can't see us just rolling over and taking a loss on Monday as we might well have done if this game had been played a couple of months ago.
Actually, exactly what I was going to go for. Actually, a 2-2 draw. I'm hoping for a goal fest at Mlesky Stadium on Easter Monday. I'd agree. I think, you know, West Brom are very, very good going forward, but with Mate in form, and hopefully Oliveira can get back on the score sheet as well. I'm also going to go for a 2-2 draw. Looking at the rest of the relegation battle, Bolton's fight is officially over after they lost 2-0 to Aston Villa, which confirmed that they would be playing League One football next season, which is sad to see. Obviously, I think, you know, what with all of their off-field problems as well, disappointing for them to go down. I think that they might have hoped to put up a bit more of a fight with the fixture they had left. Obviously, they lost to Ipswich a few weeks ago, which didn't do themselves any favours at all. But yeah, just one space left then in League One next season between probably, I'd say, four teams. I'd probably say QPR and Birmingham are just about out of it. But Rotherham currently occupy that third relegation spot. They're on 40 points. They lost a 4-3 thriller to Swansea today on Friday. And they've got Birmingham on Monday. So potentially an opportunity for them to get the win there. Millwall are 3 points above them on 43. They drew 1-1 with Brentford on Friday. Well, they do have a tricky trip to Aston Villa on Monday. And Wigan, meanwhile, got a fantastic result on Friday. They beat Leeds 2-1 at Elland Road, which is always nice to see Leeds slipping up at this time of year. But Wigan now level on points with Reading on 45. And they host Preston on Monday. A lot to take in there, Sim, but how many points do you think that sort of means that we sort of now need to survive? Obviously, I think mathematically it's a maximum of 4, but how close are we?
I think realistically, if we can get another 2 points, we should be about all right, but it depends what happens on Monday. I mean, if we get a point there, then it obviously takes a lot of pressure off the last two games, but potentially if we lose on Monday and Rotherham get a win, then obviously that's down to 2 points, and then potentially going down to the last game of the season. I think what annoys me about this is that it's not really about what Reading do at the moment. It's about what Rotherham do. Even after we got a really good point today against Bristol City, it's always about what Rotherham got against Swansea. And with Rotherham at home against a decent side in Birmingham, but not one of the best sides in the Championship, there's every chance that Rotherham get a win there. And that does worry me, to be honest. I don't know, really. I hate going through all the permutations. It's just too stressful each week.
I mean, I think obviously with today, with the way the fixtures came out, and us playing at midday, and you know, sort of having to sit through the 3 PM kickoffs with Rotherham going ahead, being pulled back, going ahead again, and then Swansea thankfully coming away with the win there. Obviously, as I mentioned, Wigan getting that fantastic result against Leeds. But yeah, Mark Minow could be talking about Reading being officially safe from relegation on the main show after the West Brom game, which would be just glorious, really, to be free from worries with two games to go. So do keep an eye out for that show in your podcast feeds, I think probably the Monday evening or Tuesday morning. If safety isn't secured on Monday, of course, Reading will go to Middlesbrough next weekend, their final away game of the season. Inflatables Day, of course, next weekend at Riverside. I'll be back with the preview show for that one, hopefully alongside a Tyler Stone debutant next Thursday. I'll keep you guessing on who that one could be. Also, there's plenty of content over on the website at the moment as well. There's a full report and ratings from the 1-1 draw with Bristol City, and also our usual preview articles for the West Brom game as well. But right now, Sim, I'm off for an Easter Friday barbecue. So I will say thank you very much for joining me on the Tyler Stones Bank Holiday Weekend preview today.
Thanks for having me.
no worries at all. And of course, a big thank you at home for listening as well. Continue to enjoy the sunshine on this beautiful bank holiday weekend before backing the boys at the Madstad on Monday against West Brom. Come on, you Ars.
The Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.